ప్రతిష్ఠితమైన తస్మై నమో విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణపస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామిని తినామిని నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవి గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్యాదేశారిణి జయ శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార్ శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్తవృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే. థ్యాంక్ యూ ఫర్ కమింగ్ టు ద సండే ఫీస్ట్ ప్రోగ్రామ్. శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద్ personally established this 40 years ago, where everybody can come together and discuss the most important things in life, at least once a week. Ideally, it should be every day of the week, but unfortunately, we live in difficult times. Materially speaking also, things are becoming difficult. Spiritually speaking, more so, it's very difficult because it's very minority that's interested in spiritual life and are willing to practice or even inquire about spiritual life. So we have each other's support. It's very valuable. And in this day and age, especially, there are so many distractions. Very few of us are interested in spiritual life, and those of us who are interested, we are easily distracted. Like there is an old saying in India that when you go to the temple of the Lord, we are in the temple but we are meditating on our shoes outside, because especially in India they get stolen. So you're in front of the Lord but you're in anxiety about your shoes. It's just a small example. So there's so many things, you know, that's interfering with our spiritual progress, especially in this day and age we're living. That's because we are in a foreign place. Krishna explains how mamaivamso jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana, that we are eternally parts and parcels of Krishna, but somehow or other we have come to Krishna's external energy, this material energy of the Lord, and obviously this is not our home. So therefore, whatever attempts we are making here to become happy, it's always a failure. It's not working out because this is not our home. And if we actually want to become happy, we have to go back to our natural element. We have to go back where we belong, because we are spiritual beings. We belong to the spiritual world. Just like I remember when I used to live in New Zealand, we would fly sometimes and it's so windy there and it's so cold and the planes are so small that you always feel like the plane is going to crash. But it's like normal. The locals feel comfortable. They're drinking wine and they're watching TV. But I'm like this, you know. Or if you're going like in the middle of the ocean, even if you're on a boat, you feel uncomfortable because you don't belong in the air or in the water. Similarly, we don't belong to this world of matter. Therefore, just being here makes us anxious, makes us on the edge. We feel uncomfortable, we feel insecure, we feel cranky, we feel exhausted. So we have to take to the path of purification, purifying our consciousness. Just like when you get like special water in the stores, purified water, basically there's nothing added to it, but all the impurities are removed from the water. Because water in itself, it's pure. Similarly, the spirit soul is pure by nature, but due to the contact with the material energy, due to the contact with the illusory energy of Krishna, we are identifying ourselves with so many things that has nothing to do with us. And we feel like greedy, we feel lusty, we feel angry, we feel envious, so many things. These are all material qualities which are actually the soul has accumulated by coming in contact with the material energy. So the process of purification given to us by the Supreme Personality of Krishna and great saints and sages of ancient times is this chanting of the holy names of Krishna. The more we chant, the more we become purified. It's a very easy process. It's a very joyful process. Srila Prabhupada used to say, the founder of Krishna Consciousness Movement, there's a garden where Prabhupada used to sit, just right here next to the Govindas. And there's a video of Prabhupada with his students, and there's a professor from UCLA is visiting Prabhupada. And the students of Prabhupada wanted to, you know, introduce the professor to Prabhupada and say something very nice about the professor. So one of the students says to Prabhupada, "Oh, Prabhupada, this professor, he likes reading your books." And Prabhupada, being so expert, he says, "Oh, we have like 80 volumes of books." Immediately put him in the place. Maybe you read like a brochure or something, but you have a lot of reading to do. But Prabhupada would often explain, we have so many volumes of books. If you're not just convinced that, you know, you should chant Hare Krishna, if you're, you know, if you're intellectual, you have questions, there's so much philosophy to back up. But if you're not interested in reading, or if you don't have money to buy books, Prabhupada would say, just chant Hare Krishna. Everything is there. This is called Yuga Dharma. This is the religious principle for this age, and it's very easy. And there is a great saint in our disciplic line called Sanatan Goswami. He was a great scholar, very learned person in the yoga texts. So Sanatan Goswami, he actually wrote so many books, like volumes and volumes of books, like 500 or more. But then he had this realization that, you know, in the future, who is going to have the intelligence to read these books and understand it? And even if they're intelligent, they're not even going to have the time to read it. It's like most of us, you know, we don't even have time to cook, right? It's like especially in America, like fast food. Nobody has time, even Indian families. I see, like, you know, traditionally back home, you never eat outside. It's like people look down on if you go and eat outside. But nowadays, nobody has any time. Everything is bought. So Sanatan Goswami, he felt, you know, compassion. He felt actually like, you know, who's going to read these books and understand? Let them just chant Hare Krishna and be benefited that way, because you get all the benefits just by chanting Hare Krishna. So he dug a hole in the ground and buried all the books and put a cement on top. Samadhi means like a tomb. So this place is actually called a Granth Samadhi. If you're a tourist, you can actually see and go around, circumambulate the place. So this is the situation in this day and age. You know, it's very difficult. Therefore, this chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is given to us. Krishna incarnates often in the sense, once in 8 billion years, to re-establish the religious principles. So when Krishna recently appeared as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Chaitanya, he personally chanted this Hare Krishna mantra. He experienced it himself. Even though he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he came in the role of his devotee and he was chanting his names of Krishna himself. So Lord Chaitanya, he actually went to this place, Puri, Jagannath Puri, And Lord Chaitanya entered this temple of Lord Jagannath, just like we have Jagannath deities on the altar here. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu entered the temple, and as soon as he saw Lord Jagannath, immediately he fainted. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Oh, here is Krishna himself." Because when we see the deities, you know, we don't see Krishna, we like, you know, we have so many questions and doubts, you know, how can a stone be God and what's up with this and that. But if you are purified and if you are self-realized, when you see the deity of Krishna, you see Krishna himself. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw Jagannath deities on the altar, immediately he fainted, "Here is my Lord, here is Krishna." And he went into deep ecstatic trance. And in India, sometimes people would fake to go into some kind of trance, and you know, they want to pose themselves as some great devotees with high spiritual ecstasies. And the guards in the temples are tired of this. So they wanted to beat Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with sticks, thinking he's one of them. But there was a great scholar, his name was Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And this scholar, Sarvabhauma, he is so learned in the scriptures that when he saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu fainted, he can tell that, you know, this person is genuine, he's not fake. And he's in deep ecstatic trance. So he put a fine cotton swab in the nostrils of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he can see that it's moving, it's like so fine. So Sarvabhauma can realize that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not like, he didn't pass away, he's in ecstasy. And he tried from the Vedic teachings, he tried from the yoga texts, different ways you can bring somebody back to consciousness when they go into ecstatic trance, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't come back to his consciousness, external consciousness. And the students and disciples of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they came and they saw that he is in this condition, and they immediately knew what to do. So they loudly and immediately chanted in his ears, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare." And immediately Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came back to consciousness. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu felt very embarrassed to have caused this scene. And it's explained by great teachers, especially by Prabhupada, that in a sense, we are all unconscious. We are all moving and paying bills and, you know, we feeling things and, you know, we are very active and dynamic. But still, spiritually speaking, we are unconscious. Because we have no interest, very indecisive. Nobody knows anything for sure, you know, what's spirituality. And everybody's confused, mostly cheated, and so on and so forth. So in a sense, we are also spiritually unconscious. So the ancient yoga text explains that by chanting of this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, we actually come back to our consciousness. We come back to our senses. We stop identifying with things that have nothing to do with us, and we realize our real self. We start to realize who we are, that we are spiritual beings, we are part and parcel of Krishna. And the real happiness is to connect with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. So we start to really understand what's the priorities in life. Swamin artharto varam najayache. There is this great king called Dhruva Maharaj. He was actually meditating for so many years. He was performing severe austerities and meditating on Krishna. But just in the process of meditating on Krishna and chanting His holy names, he becomes so purified in his heart, he didn't want anything material. But Krishna appeared to him and asked him, like, what can I do for you? You've been calling me, like, you know, so much. And Dhruva Maharaj explained that, you know, just like a person, he can have diamonds, but he's so greedy after broken pieces of glass. My position is like that, Dhruva Maharaj explained, that Krishna, you're willing to give diamonds and valuable things, but I was asking you for broken pieces of glass. If we don't understand that we are spiritual beings and we are part and parcel of Krishna, we settle for something really cheap. We settle for something insignificant. It's like my guru once told one of my god brothers, very profound statement. He said, remember, you're actually worth something more than the pleasure that lasts few seconds. It's a very profound statement. So, we are all looking for happiness, but if we don't know that we are spiritual beings and there's unlimited spiritual happiness waiting for us, we look for it in the wrong place and we settle for something insignificant. It's like this nice example given. There was a puppy dog, and the puppy dog was told that for dogs, the happiness is in the tail. So this puppy dog was spinning so fast, trying to catch his own tail. He was spinning so fast, and he's all dizzy. And the mother was watching, said, "What's happening?" And the puppy dog imparted the wisdom to the mother. "You know, Mom, I was told that for the dogs, that the happiness is in the tail, so I'm trying to catch it." And the mother spoke back, "Don't ask me how the dog can speak, but this is just a joke." The mother said, "Actually, you don't need to catch it. The tail is already in you. The tail is already in your body. It's already attached to you. You don't need to catch it." So similarly, the happiness is already within us. We don't need to run after it. But we just have to look for it in the right place. We're not against happiness. We're just against looking for it in the wrong place. It's like last December, I was distributing books in Santa Monica Promenade. And there was this boy. He got a book. He bought a book from me, one of these Bhagavad Gitas. And he didn't give me any money. He just wanted to read it. And then later he came and gave me some money, and then I said, "How do you like the book? You're reading it." He said, "Yeah, you know what? I've been shopping for 8 hours up and down, you know, pretty much every store, going in and out shopping. I was so exhausted and I was so confused. It was very hard to choose things, you know, find the right size and right color. And even after I bought it, I was not sure if I really need it and if, you know, if it's going to make me happy. And I wanted to go back and exchange it, and I'm all exhausted. So basically, after shopping for 8 hours, I'm not happy. But just reading this book, few pages, you know, I'm already feeling like so happy. So I just wanted to come and, you know, thank you and just give you a donation." So It's very important to understand where to look for happiness. We cannot find water in the desert. It's called mirage. It's a hot sand that looks like water. There was this, actually, this real story. There was this businessman, very greedy, in Vrindavan, Krishna's birthplace. He was actually praying to Lord Shiva for some wealth. He was constantly bothering Lord Shiva. It's funny because Lord Shiva is so renounced. You know, he doesn't have an apartment. He doesn't own anything. He's just in the crematorium, wearing ashes and listening to the chanting of the holy names of Krishna when they're burning the bodies. But we go to him and bother him for all kinds of material things, which he has given up. So anyways, this businessman was bothering Shiva, was praying so fervently and intensely that Shiva told him, the saint Sanatan Goswami, if you go to him, he actually has this touchstone, Chintamani. Touchstone means whatever you touch with it, it'll turn into like something valuable, like gold and diamonds and like this. So this businessman went to Sanatan Goswami and he was very submissively begging him, oh great saintly person, Lord Shiva himself recommended that I go to you and I heard you have a touchstone. Can you please give it to me? That'll solve all my problems. I'll become happy ever after. And Sanatan Goswami looked like disgusted, you know, this is all you wanted. Because when you go to a saintly person, you don't ask for material things. That means you're wasting their time. It's like Prabhupada used to say, you know, you don't go to a saintly person and say, oh, can you heal my stomach pain? Why don't you go to a stomach specialist or something? Why do you go to a saintly person who can offer you love of God? So Sanatan Goswami was disgusted. He said, you just want a touchstone. Okay, you were sent by Lord Shiva. I can't say no to you. But the touchstone is there. He pointed to the garbage can. He said, you can take it from there. So this businessman was so happy he took it, and as he was walking away, he's smart, you know, he's a businessman. So he realized, you know, he must have something more, because why would somebody have the touchstone in the garbage can unless he has something more valuable hidden inside his bhajan kutir, inside his meditation, you know, hut. So he came back and he asked Sanatan Goswami, sorry to interrupt your meditation again, but I feel like you have something more. Otherwise, why would you have this, touchstone in the garbage can? And Sanatan Goswami said, yeah, you're smart. So he gave him his beads, these chanting beads, and told this businessman, okay, I tell you something really valuable. Repeat after me. And he told him the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Sanatan Goswami explained how these beads, they're like the ladder to the spiritual world. And like Christ said, you know, don't invest anything of this world which can be, you know, destroyed by rust and moths, but invest in the kingdom of God. Same thing Sanatan Goswami told him. What's the use of all your wealth and all this touchstone? But if you chant Hare Krishna, you can actually revive your love for Supreme. You can revive your lost relationship with Krishna. And that will actually satisfy you. That will completely make you happy. So again, throw back the touchstone and take to this chanting. There's so many instances of, materialistic people, you know, trying to approach saintly people and, you know, try to ask them for some material benediction. But then, by the association and the power of the saint, they actually change their heart and they become great saints themselves. There was this hunter called Mrigari, and he was so cruel. I mean, nowadays he would be considered like a normal guy, but in the old days he was considered cruel because he would half kill animals and he would let them, you know, bleed to death, and he would just watch that with great happiness. And this great saint Narada was passing through, and he was so compassionate to all living beings. That's the beauty of a Krishna conscious person. A Krishna conscious person is not only kind to human beings or his neighbors or his countrymen or his family members or his wife and kids. He is compassionate to everybody. Just like you can imagine Srila Prabhupada, you know, he's never met an American before he came to America. It's not like he's coming to save his men. He came with two heart attacks in a ship. Cargo ship, sailed for 3 months to come to a country he's never met a person before. So broad-minded. And he's praying on the way. He's written amazing poems. Because the cargo ship actually stopped in Boston Harbor for a few minutes. And he saw, Prabhupada saw for the first time what people do in cafes in America. And Prabhupada immediately started writing these sad poems. Oh my God, these people think, you know, by drinking and having, you know, illicit connections, they're actually happy. But they don't realize they're actually suffering. So Krishna, please give me the intelligence that I can convince them and tell them what's real happiness. Please give me the strength. He was praying like that. Unconditional love. He doesn't even know anyone here. He came with like 70 rupees, which is $1 nowadays. It's unbelievable. We won't even go to like San Diego without a credit card or $200. What to speak of going to a foreign country? Anyway, Narada Muni saw these animals dying and he felt so much compassion. So he was waiting to see who is this rascal who is not even fully killing the animals, he's half killing the animals. And then he saw Mrigari about to shoot an arrow at a deer, and then Narada screamed at him, "Stop!" And Narada Muni, by his mystic powers, he actually showed this hunter what kind of reactions is awaiting him for killing all these animals he's killed so far. I mean, every action has a reaction. We can't escape. It's like when I first went to the preaching center, you know, there was one girl, she was explaining so beautifully how, you know, if you eat a chicken, next life you will have to become a chicken and be eaten, so it's not worth it. I mean, what a profound philosophy. So Narada Muni, with his mystic powers, he showed this hunter what kind of reaction is awaiting him. There was this Japanese guy, I actually met him in on book distribution. And that's when just that tsunami happened in Japan. So I was very sorry, you know, I was very sorry that, you know, this happened in your country, how you feel about that. And this guy had a profound understanding of karma, even though it was not even like spiritual. He said, you know what? For so many generations, we messed with so many aquatics. We killed every seafood there is. And we feasted on them for so many years. Now the karma came back to us in the form of water from the ocean. Intelligent guy. He had a clear understanding of karma. So when Mrigari saw that, you know, that there is so much reactions awaiting him. Turn off all your cell phones, please. And he was freaked out. He said to Narada Muni, like, what do I do now? Because we all have this experience, right? We find out about karma, but we have done so many bad karmic activities. So then he was worried, what do I do now? And Narada Muni told him, don't worry, break your bow and arrow. And I will send you food and you will be forgiven of all your bad karma if you start chanting Hare Krishna. So Mrigari had so much faith in the saintly person, he broke his bow and arrow and he went to the bank of Ganges and he started chanting Hare Krishna. And Narada Muni was actually traveling with his friend Parvat Muni. And Narada Muni said to him, you know what, I actually have a disciple here, he's an interesting character. Let's see how he's progressing in spiritual life. So Narada Muni and Parvat Muni, they actually went to Mrigari's hut to see how he's doing. And Mrigari started jumping in the air as soon as he saw his spiritual master coming. He was so happy, so ecstatic. And Parvat Muni, Narada Muni's friend, asked him, you know, when you see a guru, you're supposed to offer obeisances. Like a stick, it's called dandavat. Danda means stick, vat means you fall like a stick. Complete surrender. So why you're not offering obeisances? Why are you jumping in the air? And Mrigari said, you know what? There's so many ants in the floor. If I gave obeisances, I would have ended up killing so many of them. So I'm just jumping in the air. Just to not kill an ant. So you can see just by a moment of association with a saintly person, even somebody like Mrigari, you know, his heart completely changed. He became so saintly. And Narada Muni asked him, you know, you were concerned about your eating, because Mrigari said to Narada Muni, if I don't kill, if I don't hunt, how will I ever eat? So Narada Muni asked him, so how are you eating? And Mrigari said, oh my lord, you know, when the neighboring villagers, when they found out that I've become saintly, I don't kill anymore, they come to visit me, you know, out of amazement, they come to see me, how I'm chanting and become a vegetarian. And when you go to see a saintly person, you don't go empty-handed, you usually bring an offering. So all these neighboring villagers, they're bringing like rice and flour and fruits and milk. And they're bringing so much, I don't even have space to store them, so I end up distributing them. So it's not only I have so much food to eat, but I'm also feeding so many other people. So the hunter disciple told Narada Muni, you're right, just by chanting Hare Krishna, all the problems are solved. It's only illusion that makes us think that we have any problems in this world. So this process is so joyful and it's so simple, very easy to perform. It's just like 3 days a week, we go chanting, like, you know, Wednesday we go to Venice Beach, Friday we go to Santa Monica, Saturday we go to Hollywood. We have amazing, you know, mridangas, like Rasesha Gora was playing on Friday. People were dancing, even businessmen and homeless, and everybody forgot who they are and they like dancing as they're walking by. People just like so happy to see, you know, how these people are so happy. So by chanting this mantra, it's so easy. Everybody can participate. And this Hare Krishna mantra is a really powerful form of prayer. That just by walking past this chanting party, somebody makes spiritual advancement, even unknowingly. Because the holy name enters the ears. It's like one time, there was this atheistic lady, she didn't like the sound of chanting, so she closed her ears as she was walking past the Harinam party. And Prabhupada said, it's too late, the holy name already went in. So even unwillingly, people make progress. Everybody should come and participate. Because this is an experience. Because if you just come, keep hearing the philosophy and go away, you don't experience. We will never, you know, make progress. We have to get into it, get into the action. We can't just be a spectator, we have to participate. So please come and participate in the Harinam, and you can see how the Yuga Dharma, how the holy name is so joyful. Everybody is transformed, even a hard-hearted person. Like last night, we were distributing in Hollywood, and there was this Indian man, he was dancing, nice man, engineer from South India. He was dancing, and then I slowly approached from behind, and then I showed him the book, because usually when you go in the front, they immediately go like this. So he said to me that I don't agree with your philosophy. That was his immediate reaction. I said to him, so what do you know about our philosophy? What have you read about our philosophy? He said, I haven't read anything. So he said, correct me if I'm wrong, but why don't you read this book? Then at least we have something to argue. Because right now you have no knowledge and you're just saying, you know, he's saying, it's just not for me, I'm just not interested. I said, this is not an option, this is like the most important thing in life. I pointed to his son, he had a 4-year-old son. I said, how would you like if your son told you, you know, dad, I just don't want to go to school, you know. It's not my thing, just leave me alone. Would you allow him to do that? He said, no. So why not? Because he's going to become homeless later on, he's going to become a criminal, he's going to be a bum. The same thing, certain things in life are not optional. Whether you like it or not, we have to do it. This is the best thing for you. So he took a book and continued dancing. So this process is so easy. Everybody can participate. And it's so pure and so profound. And the more we chant Krishna within the heart, He actually helps us, makes progress. Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita that Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam. He's within everyone's heart and He actually gives us intelligence how to make progress in spiritual life. He's like a GPS within. He's always guiding. But our minds and senses are screaming so loud. Imagine you have a GPS in the car, you're driving along. And you have some friends in the car that speak so loud. You have experience like that, you can't hear the GPS. So you have to tell them, can you? Same thing, Krishna is within our heart guiding us. But our mind and senses are so greedy and lusty, screaming so loud. We can't actually hear Krishna speak. But Krishna says, if you're willing to listen, He is immediately willing to give you guidance. Dadami buddhi yogam tam, Krishna says. I give you intelligence how you can come back to Me. So by chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna also helps us make progress. Krishna will take away things that are, you know, obstacles in our spiritual life. He will help us. It's like this devotee I met in Australia, he told this story. How, you know, he was so attached to surfing. You can't imagine. The guy looked like, you know, blonde and tan skin and 6 foot tall. You can see, as soon as you see him, he's a surfer, but he's wearing this clothes of a monk. He's struggling, you know. So at one point he decided, you know, this is not for me, this Krishna consciousness. I'm just going to go and do what really makes me happy, namely surfing. I'm just going to surf. So he paddled into the ocean and he was waiting to catch a wave. And then there was a lightning that struck the neighbor. There was a friend that was surfing and burned him to ashes. So he swam back to the shore and went back to the temple and made a vow never to leave again. There's so many examples of how, you know, if there's something insignificant that we're holding on to, Krishna will help us give that up so we can have the real thing. Because love of Godhead is not a cheap thing. Because you can go to so many yoga groups and, you know, they will tell you, you know, you don't need to have any dress code. You can eat meat, you can drink wine, you can, you know, have this partner and that partner. There's no rules and regulations, and just be yourself and enjoy. But they don't have anything substantial to offer. Whatever makes us miserable and whatever makes us suffering already, they just encourage you to do that again and again in the name of spirituality. But when you come to Krishna consciousness, you may hear that, okay, we don't do this, we don't do that, and you have to rise early and we have to chant and all these things. Because love of Krishna is not a cheap thing. Anything valuable, you have to work for it. If you get anything cheap, you're just going to throw it away. If you work hard for something, you value that much. So Krishna consciousness is the real thing. And it's for intelligent people, it's not for everybody. Not everybody can understand Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada gave the example, just like if you have a diamond in a showroom, many people will come and go, you know, very rare. Somebody will, you know, have the capacity to buy it. But if you go to a 99 store, everybody's buying. The checkout is full, the line is like so long. So Krishna consciousness is a real thing. We are stuck in the cycle of birth and death. And in the breaks we get in between suffering, we consider that as a happiness and we're doing the same thing birth after birth. That's not a very intelligent thing. But Krishna is offering something eternal, something blissful, something joyful. But it takes some sacrifice, some commitment, some surrender. So everybody please read Bhagavad Gita. We hear this all the time, right? Oh, I have the Bhagavad Gita, but you never open it, it's collecting dust. Just by having the Bhagavad Gita, you're not going to become enlightened. We have to read the Bhagavad Gita. We have to open the mouth and chant, vibrate the holy names of Krishna. We have to participate. We have to sacrifice. This is a science. And then we can experience something higher. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Does anybody have a question or two? We can discuss. We have a few minutes. Yes, Prabhu.
Why do they come?
Yeah, he's asking, like I said, that Krishna helps remove the obstacles when we are sincerely practicing Krishna consciousness. So he's asking, why do the obstacles come at the first place? Because we have chosen to come to the material world, where it's full of obstacles. And we shouldn't be surprised. Just like if you decided to go to the ocean, you shouldn't be surprised there's water. Or imagine if you break the law and you go to the jail. And if you're upset, nobody's nice to me and they make me make number plates and, this guy is giving me a mean look and I don't deserve this, But just the fact you broke the law and you entered another energy of the state of California, you're treated differently. Similarly, we left Krishna to come to this world. And this world is designed where living entities can go and forget about God. And try to enjoy independent of Krishna. So it's like swimming against the current. It's full of obstacles. But by following this science, Krishna helps you come out of this. Does that make sense? Are you still? Sure. Yes, Prabhu. The 12th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita is called devotional service. Because many people misunderstand the essence of Bhagavad Gita to be jnana or yoga or karma like this. But Krishna says, bhaktyamam abhijanati, bhakti, patram pushpam phalam toyam yome bhaktya prayachati, manmana bhavamad bhakto. Thousands of times he repeats this word bhakti. Because he owns everything. You can't impress him with your knowledge or a few dollars or some fruits or water. He's asking for your love. So if you read the chapter 12, you'll understand what's the most important thing for Krishna is our bhakti, love. Devotion, yes. Yes, devotional service. Because love without service is just like cheap. If you have a relationship, wife or girlfriend, you keep telling her, I love you, but you don't do anything after a while. She doesn't take you seriously. Same thing, we have to sacrifice, we have to serve Krishna with love. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Now we have dinner prasadam on the other side of the street. Please pick up different books. We have a book stall outside. If you have Bhagavad Gita already, you can take other books.